So I'm going to talk to you for a minute about the reading, the first reading we heard from the book of Hosea. And I want to think about this question about the difference between being a human being and being God. So, and also I want to think about what the word, the important word sympathy in the Old Testament, which is a very, very significant word. I want to think about those things. Numerous years ago, I was talking to somebody who is very knowledgeable in this area, the area of human relationships and how families work and all this kind of thing. And we'd been dealing with a member of our extended family who was very difficult to deal with. That's kind of an understatement. I know all of us have had people in our lives that are very difficult to deal with. Sometimes we're difficult to deal with ourselves as well. People who are just particularly lacking lacking in empathy towards others, maybe lacking in sympathy towards others, who are occasionally we encounter people who are unsafe to be around. That's either psychologically or even physically. And it's not a judgment we want to make lightly about people, but it does happen. There's a small percentage of the population, and it does happen. So I was talking to this very knowledgeable person about this particular person, and she said something that really kind of startled me, and kind of changed the way I thought a little bit. I was brought up. You know, small town in the prairies, we all have to get along together because, you know, the winters are long and you could freeze to death, you know, if everybody doesn't help each other. So the idea is you all have to get along with each other. And that's how I was raised. And it's to be a Christian is to be a nice person. But she said this to me, it really struck me. She said, if you decide to talk to this person who is quite difficult and maybe even a little dangerous psychologically to deal with, you decide to talk to them, you decide to have coffee with them, and you sit down and they say something that you don't like, get up and leave without saying anything. And I'm thinking to myself, are you allowed to do that? Like, isn't like there's a law against that or something? Like, that doesn't sound right. Then I thought about it, I'm going, I wish somebody told me that 55 years ago. You know, that would have come in handy very occasionally, but once in a while would have come in handy. And so you think, oh, that's not the kind of rule you want to apply out of spite, or certainly with lack of self-awareness, but in times of dire necessity, it is appropriate. Occasionally, it is appropriate. So the reason I think of this is, again, thinking about the difference between being human being and being God. So Hosea is very remarkable, as you just heard, as we were listening to it. Hosea is very remarkable in that he does something. I don't know why this hasn't struck me before, in that he shows us the inner life of God, and he shows us it's not too strong a word to say the torment that he feels in relation to his people. His love, he says, for his people is fierce. Later describes himself as a lion, a lion of love. His love towards his people is fierce to the point where it is tormenting him, that they turned away from him. He was a very interesting, he says, his relationship with my people started when I freed them from slavery. And he uses a very interesting word. He doesn't say I freed them from slavery. He said I healed them from slavery. So you can see in Hosea how intimate and how emotional God's connection is with his people. And then he talks about his constant love for his people, for Ephraim, calls them Ephraim. Constant love, how he, as a young child, he guided them and he steered them, and he'd never left them on his own, and how his love for them has been constant. But then he says a very striking thing at the beginning of the book. He says, but this people has no sympathy for me. In other words, they don't care about me. They have no attachment to me. They have no connection to me, despite the fact that I've healed them again and again and again. They have said, well, this God Baal, he's pretty good. You know, he has great things like cult prostitution and human sacrifice. I mean, those are eventful. That's interesting, you know, that he's those pretty good God. And the Assyrians, we should really, you know, hang out with them more, because they're kind of like, you know, they're the proto-Nazis of their time. And, you know, you're never going to get bored hanging around with the Assyrians. You never know what they're going to do next. And he says, these are the people, these are the gods, and these are the people that you've decided to attach yourselves to. Those gods like yourself with no sympathy. Word sympathy is very important in the Bible. Often we translate it as knowledge of the Lord, but in the Old Testament, knowledge is not just mental knowledge. It's knowledge that involves the mind, the heart, and the body. And depending on how it's used, sometimes when he says knowledge of the Lord, he means sympathy for the Lord, concern for the Lord. It's a very important thing. Sympathy, as we know, it's the basis of all human relationships, the ability to actually care for another human being, to care what they're feeling, to even feel, as Bill Clinton used to say, I feel your pain, you know, to be able to feel other people's pain. Sometimes, as I said, the basis in a lot of ways for human relationships, and very important word in the Bible. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says, I never realized this before. I'm so glad I read this. A wicked man doesn't care about his animals and mistreats them, but a righteous man, a righteous person, has sympathy even for their animals. Or foreigners living in your country. He says a wicked person doesn't care about foreigners who are living in your country. He says, but a righteous person has sympathy for them, because we were foreigners ourselves once in Egypt. And if you recall, when the new king of Egypt, new Pharaoh, comes into Egypt, and it says he knew not Joseph, and then enslaved the people, what it's really saying is not that the king didn't know who Joseph was. That would have been impossible. What he's saying is he really did not like the Hebrews, a strong personal dislike, to the point where he wanted to enslave them. So another word, I think, for the antithesis of sympathy might be contempt, I think. The opposite of identifying with someone else's feelings is to feel contempt for them. And this is what God is accusing his people of, is contempt. Contempt for him, despite his love. So in chapter 10, God says, okay, enough of that. I'm getting up from the table and I'm leaving. I've tried, you know, for like at this point, you know, maybe 500 years. That's a pretty good stretch of trying. I've tried, and you have nothing but contempt for me. You have no sympathy for me. You love the Baals, you love the Assyrians, so go enjoy yourself. But then he says something else. It's usually translated like this. It's very strong sentence in the middle of all this. He says, yeah, but I am not a human being. I am God. And while a human being may have limits to their ability in terms of kind of patience and persistence with someone who offers them contempt, and we should have limits, I am God. I have none whatsoever. It is my nature to be merciful, and my mercy is unescapable. And I will track you down. You know that poem, The Hound of Heaven? You ever heard that? kind of like, it's kind of like somebody described in this poem, you can look it up if you like, somebody describes God as being this dog, which is chasing you and chasing you and chasing you and will not let you go. Here God does not describe himself as a dog, a hound of heaven. He describes himself as being a lion. This love that God is talking about is not sentimental. It is powerful. He is a lion of mercy. And you will hear me roar, he says. So look at me. This is why I've shared my inner life with you, he says. Look at me. I can change my attitude towards you. So you can change your attitude towards me. The gospel is a shocking thing whenever we really think about it. But what's shocking about it is that we have limits, and we should have limits. Because we're human beings, we are not God. We are human beings, as to what we are capable of doing, in our ability, in our persistence sometimes, and there are times that we need to draw very clear boundaries. But with those who have no sympathy, and there are times we need to get up and leave, so to speak, under certain circumstances. But the gospel says this, that unlike us, God's attitude, his feelings, and his dealings with us is independent of our actions. That is, there is nothing. You think you're going to escape me. You think you're going to escape me with your contempt? Good luck. I am a lion of mercy. My love for you is fierce. And I am going to hunt you down with my mercy. Think of the story of the prodigal son, you know, running off into the, you know, that story, how he runs away. Just imagine Jesus running with him and chasing them the whole way. And he will not let him go. So you and I are not capable of changing hardened hearts. And we need to respect our own limits and our own humanity. But it is, then God says, it is in my nature to be, it's like in Narnia, if people have ever read that, where God is like a lion. It's in his nature to be fiercely merciful. And God can defeat, he says, even the hardest heart with his fierce mercy. Jesus is portrayed as the Lion of Judah. And it's for no reason that he's called a lion. So we commend ourselves to the mercy of God. Sometimes our own hearts are hardened to some degree, and we ask God to overcome that. And we also think about those, you know, people in our lives. Maybe all of us have somebody through certain circumstances over the years that we have had to establish those kind of limits with. And we think about them and we say to ourselves, it's not my job. That's God's job. But God is fiercely merciful. And we commend ourselves and others to him to take care of, as he said he would. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your love is not simply soft and sentimental. We thank you that you are the Lion of Judah, that your love is fierce. Lord, we thank you for your fierce love for us. Thank you for your fierce love for the whole of humanity. And Lord, those on whom we can have no effect because we're simply human, we commend to your mysterious, merciful, and fierce care, Lord Jesus. Amen.